ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 18, Parikshit, cursed by a Brahmana boy, text number 30. Satu Brahma Risheram Se,
Satu Brahma Risheram Se,
Gadasu Uragam Rusha,
Gadasu Uragam Rusha,
Vinirgachan Dhanus Kotya,
Vinirgachan Dhanus Kotya,
Nidhaya Puramagataha,
Nidhaya Puramagataha,
Satu Brahma Risheram Se,
Satu Brahma Risheram Se,
Gadasu Uragam Rushe,
Gadasu Uragam Rusha,
Vinirgachan Dhanushkotya,
Vinirgachan Dhanushkotya,
Nidhaya Puramagataha,
Nidhaya Puramagataha,
Satu Brahma Risheram Se,
Satu Brahma Risheram Se,
Gadasu Muragam Rusha,
Gadasu Muragam Rusha,
Vinirgachan Dhanushkotya,
Vinirgachan Dhanushkotya,
Nidhaya Puramagataha,
Nidhaya Puramagataha,
Satu Brahma Risheram Se,
Satu Brahma Risheram Se,
Gadasum Uragam Rusha,
Gadasum Uragam Rusha,
Vinirgachan Dhanushkotya,
Vinirgachan Dhanushkotya,
Nidhaya Puramagataha,
Nidhaya Puramagataha,
Satu Brahma Risheram Se,
Satu Brahma Risheram Se,
Gadasum Uragam Rusha,
Gadasum Uragam Rusha,
Vinirgachan Dhanushkotya,
Vinirgachan Dhanushkotya,
Nidhaya Puramagataha,
Nidhaya Puramagataha.
Word to word translation. Saha,
Saha,
the king.
To
however,
Brahma
Rishehe,
of the Brahmana sage,
Amshe,
on the shoulder,
Gata Asum,
lifeless,
Uragam,
snake,
Rusha,
in anger,
Vinirgachan,
while leaving,
Dhanu Kotya, with the front of the bow, Nidhaya, by placing it, Puram, palace, Agadaha, returned. Translation, while leaving, the king, being so insulted, picked up a lifeless snake with his bow and angrily placed it on the shoulder of the sage. Then he returned to his palace. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The king thus treated the sage tit for tat, although he was never accustomed to such silly actions. By the will of the Lord, the king, while going away, found a dead snake in front of him, and he thought that the sage, who had coldly received him, thus might be coldly rewarded by being offered a garland of a dead snake. In the ordinary course of dealings, this was not very unnatural, but in the case of Maharaj Parikshit's dealing with a Brahmana sage, this was certainly unprecedented. It so happened by the will of the Lord. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padagamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanitamscha हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पदे गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाचकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Hare Krishna. In this particular purport and in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, we can learn one most important principle in our devotional life, that is aligning our consciousness to Krishna, aligning ourselves to the plan of the Lord. Maharaj Parikshit exemplifies this principle by giving up his own life. He is showing how he is completely surrendered to the plan of the Lord, how he is acting just according to the will of the Lord, even at the sake of his own life. So this principle of aligning oneself to the will of the Lord has to be permeated in all aspects of our devotional life. So this principle is the guiding principle for all of us throughout our life. So even if we consider ourselves just a sadhaka or someone who has already perfected the devotional life, for all of them the essential guiding principle is to act according to the will of the Lord or to act according to the pleasure of the Lord. So we hear from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu the definition of pure devotional service, which is the guiding principle for all of us. So Srila Rupa Goswami, he has taken up all different definitions of devotional service from various scriptures. Say for instance, even in Bhagavatam, there are many verses showing the characteristics of devotional service. Ahetuki apratihata, we can hear. Yatma suprasitati. Similarly, in the third canto, Kapiladeva also describes devotional service. So here, there are many definitions, but the essence of all those definitions are captured in the verse Anya Abhilashita Shunyam. Jnana Karmadi Anavritam Anukulyena Krishnanashilanam Bhakti Uttama. So what is the Uttama Bhakti? So there are different ingredients mentioned. Anyabhilashita Shunyam. Not desiring for anything material. And Jnana Karmadi Anavritam. And there is no desire for speculative philosophy or fruitive activity. And which is explained further. And on the other side, as a primary characteristics of devotional service, it's mentioned Anukulyena Krishnana Shilanam. Anukulyena, the devotional service has to be favorable for Krishna. It has to be for the pleasure of the Lord, and at the same time it has to be continuous, and it has to be in line with the parampara. So Krishna Anushilanam, and it has to be a process of cultivation. So that is Bhakti Uttama. So here, this essentially this purport focusing on the will of the Lord And Maharaj Parikshit's alignment to will of the Lord is exemplifying pure devotional service. And it's a demonstration of the verse Anyabhilashita Shunya. So for us, in this case, we can very clearly understand that we have the most wonderful opportunity in our life. So devotees are considered opportunists. If we call somebody is opportunistic, then it doesn't look very good. But in terms of devotee, it is a glory of the devotee that he is happy to take all the opportunity to serve Krishna. And whenever there is an opportunity to do render some service for Krishna or to preach Krishna consciousness, he or she takes that opportunity. And if we are not yet in that platform, yes, this is an opportunity to do so. So here we can see the golden opportunity that all of us have in front of us, where we have some time, we have enough services, and we can actually do it in the right way. Do it with the proper consciousness. Do it with the alignment of our consciousness with that of Krishna's will, with Krishna's pleasure. So, we can actually take this essential principle to our life. So we can remove the so-called separation between our life and Srimad Bhagavatam. Because we tend to separate ourselves, our actions, our thoughts from the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. There can be always a disjunction between our life and Srimad Bhagavatam. So let's connect to Srimad Bhagavatam. Let's try to understand this principle clearly and let's try to think how can we use in our day-to-day life. So that will be really beneficial. And in that way we can make spiritual progress. Now naturally, one question comes to our mind. How do we know the will of the Lord? So, one obvious answer is, we can know the will of the Lord through His pure representatives and His devotees. So very simple thing, we know some of the will of the Lord very clearly by being present in this Krishna consciousness movement. Because Srila Prabhupada has established the morning program, a sadhana program for us, morning and evening program. They are the sadhana program for us. So if we are just aligning ourselves to that program, that itself shows, okay, we are trying to be in touch with the teachings of Srila Prabhupada and we are trying to be in alignment with Krishna's will. So broadly there are some injunctions, broadly there are some will which are established within ISKCON. So if you think, okay, we don't have any time for morning program, we can't get up for Mangalarati, then we are actually missing the opportunity. It is so powerful to attend Mangalarati, attend Tulsi Puja and chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. That in itself is a luxury. If someone wants to make progress in Krishna consciousness, that just that sadhana aspect, that in itself, and of course it is followed by Guru Puja and Srimad Bhagavatam and Prasadam. So even this in itself is a luxury for a person who is desirous of spiritual progress. So if you don't take advantage of this program, then we are not actually being in alignment with the Lord's plan, because it is coming through Srila Prabhupada. As we know, most of the angas of bhakti as given in Nectar Devotion, among the 64 angas of bhakti, are covered in the morning program. So we have this opportunity. We cannot say we don't have this opportunity. And the question is, with how much sincerity and in what consciousness we are doing this. If we do with the right consciousness, this is actually most blissful part of our time. Whether we go for work or whether we are doing service, the morning program in itself is a blissful time. Attending Mangalarati, worshipping Tulasi. Sometimes, I just get disconnected from the arati which is going on. The mind can go in some different direction. After attending for Tulsi Puja for some time, because the Tulsi Puja, the arati itself is very exalted. The worship of Tulsi is exalted and the prayer in itself is very exalted. The prayer given in Tulsi Puja is very, very high aspiration. And one day I was completely disconnected from the whole thing. And suddenly I heard this, the last line, Yani kani cha papani brahma gatyati kani cha tanitani pranishyanti pradakshina pade pade. So when I just heard that, suddenly it struck. How merciful is Tulsi Maharani? Yani kani cha papani. All the papas are removed, including brahmahatya, including killing of a brahmana, just by pradakshina pade pade, just by circumambulating Tulsi Maharani. So even each step, each item in morning program has significance. So if you try to follow it nicely with the right consciousness, we get a lot of reward. So it's just a matter of practice. We had to practice day in and day out, month after month, year after year. Then we can see how our consciousness get transformed just by the help of morning program. And then we can see that reflection in our service and also in our daily life. I was remembering the statement of His Grace Sankarshan Das Adhikari Prabhu. He was mentioning he's mentioning that I am attending morning program, including Mangalarati till Prasadam, the whole morning program for 35 or 40 years. He said, I don't miss that even a single day. Then he made a very strong statement. He said that if somebody is my disciple, he must attend. If somebody is not attending, then I don't consider him or her as my disciple. This is such a heavy statement. I was thinking, the potency of morning program. How this is so powerful and is giving so much of spiritual strength for all of us, for the whole day. If we actually meditate on some morning program, some aspects of morning program throughout the day, it is actually inspiring us. Or any aspect of morning program. Let it be Bhagavatam, let it be chanting. Chanting, if you do nice chanting, everyone, I am sure everyone has this experience of chanting nicely at least once in a while. Where after chanting you feel that, okay, I have actually chanted 16 rounds. I can feel it. I am happy that I have chanted 16 rounds. Not that I am happy because I have finished 16 rounds. There are two different feelings. The initial, the beginning mentality, the neophyte mentality of chanting is, that is, I am happy by finishing chanting. And after that the happiness is, I am happy because I am chanting. The chanting in itself gives joy. So we have to aspire for that platform where chanting in itself is giving us happiness. So if we have that kind of chanting, then at the end of the chanting and even throughout the day, if you think about chanting, we feel, okay, it was a wonderful experience. Then one can look forward for chanting for the next day. So that is the meaning of, tomorrow's chanting starts today. We aspire to chant 16 rounds. So this is the potency of the morning program, just that in itself. Now, okay, we have, several devotees who can help us in terms of what to do in our devotional life. Our guru is there. There are so many devotees who are senior to us. So we know what to do in our devotional life and we can take guidance. We know what is the will of the Lord. And we have to take endeavor to fulfill those desires of the Lord coming through the devotees. So in terms of pure devotees, we can see there are many times intervention of the Lord Himself in showing them what is the will of the Lord. The Lord Himself interferes. The Lord Himself shows. Or the Lord through the agency of His pure representatives. We know the example of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, he was getting this dream of taking sannyas. And one time, one of Srila Prabhupada's sannyasi godbrother remembers that one night Srila Prabhupada had this dream wherein Bhakti Siddhanta came and told him, now you must take sannyas. And Srila Prabhupada, he was so, at that point of time, one point he was so fired up. He actually thought, I must do something at this point of time. So he approached this sannyasi godbrother. They were, at that point, they were staying in the same house. And he told two things. One thing he mentioned to his godbrother was that Gandhi is coming to that town in a day or two. So he was pleading to the sannyasi that we must go and speak to Gandhi. If we had to create an impression in the consciousness of Gandhi so that the mass of people would get benefited. And he was just pushing so hard, we must do something, we must preach. So his godbrother was mentioning, by his, even though he was a sannyasi, by his nature, he was not so outgoing and preaching. But he was seeing the enthusiasm of Srila Prabhupada. He was telling, I must go, we must go, come with me, I will take you, let's go and speak to Gandhi and let's create an impact. Let's help the people of the world. This was the mood of Srila Prabhupada. And then he pleaded to this sannyasi godbrother that I have to take sannyas, and it is the desire of our guru. It is the desire of Prabhupada. That was the words used by Srila Prabhupada. So that didn't happen at that point of time. But it shows how, you know, a pure devotee is being guided through the agency of his pure representatives, the Lord's pure representatives. There are many incidents in this similar fashion. One thing I can remember is in Chaitanya Charitamrita, briefly explained that last time, where Rupa Goswami, under the guidance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, went to Vrindavan for two purposes. One, to excavate and establish the places of worship. Second, to write literatures glorifying Krishna. So two reasons. So Rupa Goswami didn't want to leave Jagannath Puri, we didn't want to leave the association of Mahaprabhu, but he had to go to Vrindavan, and he did go and he enacted his pastime there, and he started writing scriptures in glorification of Krishna. So when Rupa Goswami at one point, along with his brother Anupam, they were returning from Vrindavan to Jagannath Puri. So when they reached Navadvip, Anupam passed away, and it took a bit of a delay. And from there, Rupa Goswami again started walking from Navadvip to Jagannath Puri. Meanwhile, he was composing a drama describing the activities of the Lord, both in Vrindavan and Dwaraka. So, when he reached a particular town, it's called Satyabhamapur, he had a dream. He was sleeping and had a dream. And in that dream, a beautiful lady appeared and told Rupa Goswami that, please write a separate drama for me, and I will bestow all benediction unto you. And by my mercy, this drama is going to be most wonderful and most beautiful. So, Rupa Goswami, so this is the intervention of the Lord. And this is Satyabhamapur. So, Rupa Goswami understood this is none other than Satyabhama herself came to his dream. Then Rupa Goswami again, he started thinking about it, but he left and he again started walking to Jagannath Puri. And upon reaching Jagannath Puri, Mahaprabhu already knew about the arrival of Rupa Goswami, and Rupa Goswami stayed with Haridas Thakur. And one day, Lord Chaitanya visited Haridas Thakur's hut, and where he met with Rupa Goswami. So there, Rupa Goswami told Mahaprabhu about his writings. And at that point, again, Mahaprabhu again made a very interesting statement. He said, Krishna in Vrindavan will never leave Vrindavan. He is always in Vrindavan. He never leaves Vrindavan. Vrindavanam parityajya padam ekam nagachati. That is, Krishna in Vrindavan would not take one step out from Vrindavan. He is always in Vrindavan. So Mahaprabhu only told that. But from this, Rupa Goswami actually understood what is the will of the Lord. He understood what is the will of Mahaprabhu. He understood what is the will of Satyabhama, and that is to have two separate dramas, which came out later as Vidagdha Madhava and Lalita Madhava. It is mentioned it took a long time and a very, very serious attempt from Rupa Goswami to compose this, both the dramas. It wasn't easy, and it was very well thought, and the verses, even each verse took a long time to compose. So to fulfill the desire of the Lord, Rupa Goswami had to go through so much of endeavor. Similarly, we can think, if we come to know what do we have to do in our devotional life, what are our services, we can understand from Guru, we can understand from the devotees, but to execute such instructions, we need at least three things. That is, utsaham, nischayam, dhairyam. Utsaha, nichaya, dhairya. Three things. One is, utsaha is required. Enthusiasm is required. Then nischaya. Nischaya means determination. and dhairyat by patience. So these are the three ingredients that can make us fulfill the will of the Lord, the desire of the Lord. If you don't have these three ingredients, it is impossible. So Srila Prabhupada stresses the first principle as utsaha, as the enthusiasm. As we were hearing recently from Jayananda Prabhu's pastimes, that is, he made a very interesting statement that if you don't feel enthusiastic, just act enthusiastically. So that's a very important point. So if you don't feel like doing some service, or if you don't feel like chanting properly, just do it. Try your best. Then, by Krishna's mercy, enthusiasm will come. In fact, one time, few devotees approached Srila Prabhupada. I know Jayananda Prabhu himself approached Srila Prabhupada and told Prabhupada that, why Prabhupada, why have you given all mercy, a lot of mercy to me? So Prabhupada said, it's not right. I have given my mercy to everyone, equally to everyone. But only you have actually taken most advantage of that. So if you want that mercy, it means the enthusiasm can bring mercy. Because if we act enthusiastically, even though internally we are not enthusiastic, if we do it, we get enthusiasm. A very common example for that is dancing while kirtan. Correct? We may not feel like dancing while kirtan, but when the kirtan is going on, if we just start jumping, we get enthusiasm. And when we see other devotees jumping and dancing, we get enthusiasm. So just by acting enthusiastically, we get the mercy, and then we can see, okay, there is a transformation for our heart. There is some ecstasy, some pleasure is coming into the heart, and we are actually doing it now out of some internal feeling. So we can see, okay, of course, from the external activity, internal enthusiasm can manifest. Second ingredient is very interesting and very important, that is determination. Because we may know what to do, and we may start with some enthusiasm, but for the enthusiasm to last throughout, we need determination. And for this determination, I will tell a very, very interesting pastime from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is a very touching pastime because this is showing the determination of King Prataparudra. So we know King Prataparudra is a very amazing associate of the Lord. He was the king of Orissa. He was the emperor. So as we know, Jagannath Puri was under the jurisdiction of King Prataparudra. It is a part of his kingdom. And King Prataparudra was ruling from Cuttack. That was his capital. And Prataparudra was a great devotee of the Lord. He was a great devotee of Lord Jagannath. And he was a great devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as a devotee, he wanted personal audience of Mahaprabhu. So we can expect from a devotee that he wanted the personal darshan and he wanted a personal association of Mahaprabhu. But the Lord would not give that association. Strictly, he won't give that association. So at the first step, let's look into this pastime. How many attempts that King Prataparudra takes to meet with the Lord, to get the association of the Lord. First, King Prataparudra writes to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He says, you are very dear associate of the Lord. Could you please arrange a meeting for me with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was such a close associate of the Lord. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he received the mercy of the Lord. And he has written wonderful poems glorifying the Lord. So, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he approached Lord Chaitanya and requested that this great king, he is such a wonderful devotee and he would like to meet you and kindly give one time an audience. What did Lord Chaitanya reply? He said, no, it's not possible because I cannot associate with a king. I am a mendicant and it is impossible for me to meet with a king. So he completely rejected and also warned Sarvabhauma, please don't bring this topic again. Just leave it there. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was thinking, you know, what can I do at this point? So he went back and he continued his service, and then he informed Pratapa Rudra that this is the response of the Lord, so I can't do anything at this point. King waited for some time and then again wrote a letter to Sarvabhattacharya requesting the Lord can be pleased only through the agency of the devotees. If devotees are pleased, then the Lord will also be pleased. So kindly request all the devotees to plead for me. So he wrote a royal letter to Sarvabhattacharya. And Sarvabhattacharya, he received this letter and he approached all the devotees. It is mentioned that he showed every devotee this letter. This is an authentic statement from the king. And he really wants darshan of the Lord. So all the devotees, they were surprised to see the devotion of the king unto the feet of Lord Chaitanya. They were very happy to see that the king was such a great devotee. And they all started making a plan. They were very diplomatic in one sense. They thought, if we again go and request the Supreme Lord for king's audience, that won't happen. Rather, we would first glorify the king for his devotional qualities. So all of them agreed upon this proposal. And all the devotees, along with Sarvabhaumavattacharya, along with Advaitacharya, along with Nityananda Prabhu, think Nityananda Prabhu, they are supreme lords. They are lords themselves. They all of them assembled in front of the Lord. And it is mentioned that they were quite afraid to speak to the Lord. They were thinking, you know, how can we present this to the Lord? Because we know for sure that Lord wouldn't be happy to hear such a thing. So here we had to understand, apparently the devotees of the Lord and the king himself are acting against the will of the Lord. Because the Lord has already expressed that he doesn't want audience of a king. Still they are acting against the will of the Lord. So they couldn't speak, they were afraid. So Mahaprabhu told that, you have come here to speak something important to me, but you are not speaking. Why? So the devotee said, yes, we want to speak to you something, but we are a bit afraid. This was a statement of Nityananda Prabhu. So then Mahaprabhu said, no, anyway you speak. So they said, this king is such a devotional attitude he has, and he wants just an audience from you. So kindly allow audience. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he again rejected. He said, it's not possible. You are mentioning that he has all devotional qualities and he may be a great devotee. But there is one thing, that his title is the king. So just because of this title, as a mendicant, I can't associate with Pratapa Rudra. Just because of that. So the devotees, they didn't know what to do. So they went back and Sarvabhaumavattacharya, he wrote a letter to King Pratapa Rudra, who was in Cuttack, saying, we tried our best, but couldn't do it. So think about it, the time is passing and King Pratapa Rudra, he's so anxious to meet the Lord. And the Lord wouldn't meet him. So this is the second attempt. Now, time passed and Lord had already meeting with Ramananda Roy. And Lord asked Ramananda Roy to resign his position and come and live in Jagannath Puri. So Ramananda Roy mentioned this to King Pratapa Rudra, that I would like to go and I would like to serve Lord Chaitanya. So kindly relieve me from government service. And King was so happy. He was thinking, you are so fortunate. So you can just go. And I will give you all the salary what is required. I will give you. You don't have to work, but I will provide you everything. But do me a favor. So this is the third attempt of King Pratapa Rudra. What he said, you go to Jagannath Puri and I will also come along with you. But kindly do one thing, please arrange an audience with the Lord. So Ramananda Roy said, yeah, it should be possible. I can help you out. So both the king and Ramananda Roy, they reached Jagannath Puri. And Ramananda Roy, who is a very, very intimate associate of the Lord, he approached the Lord and he started glorifying King Pratapa Rudra. And he told that the king is so great that he had already informed the devotees that if the Lord wouldn't give audience to him, he was ready to give up his kingdom. And he was ready to be a mendicant. So, kindly allow this audience. Kindly give him audience. So again, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, again he rejected. He said it's not possible. Because, if he is a great devotee, I agree with everything. But if I associate with this king, then people will laugh. So, my whole idea is to preach Krishna consciousness. But if I have a bad reputation, even to a tinge of it, then I can't preach Krishna consciousness. It is just like if you pour a drop of ink in a big pot of milk. Even just a drop of ink can contaminate the whole pot of milk. In the same way, just a spot of bad character can spoil me. So I can't. So again he rejected. Then Ramananda Rai started pleading again. Then the Lord suggested one thing. He said, okay, then we'll do a compromise. And what is that compromise? According to Vedic scriptures, son is considered the representative of the father. So you can ask the son of King Prataparudra, who is the prince, to come and meet me. So Ramananda Rai had no option but agreed, and he informed the king, and then they actually took the prince in front of Lord Chaitanya. And the devotee, he was, it's mentioned that he had a blackish complexion, and he was wearing beautiful garland, and his cloth was yellowish. So seeing this, Mahaprabhu went into ecstasy. It was an uddipan. Something that will cause ecstasy. So the items, there are a few, for instance, yellow garments, when he saw, he actually started remembering about Krishna. So Mahaprabhu started, he showed all the devotional ecstasies. And he said, this must be a great devotee, because just by seeing him, I am becoming ecstatic. And he embraced and he bestowed all mercy to this prince. And it is mentioned that the Lord invited this prince for all his rest of the pastimes in Jagannath-puri. So he became an intimate associate of the Lord. And when Prataparudra heard about this, he became very happy. But at the same time, he understood his plight. Being a king, I can't get the audience of the Lord. So Prataparudra, he's again still waiting, he can't meet, this is the determination. He's still enthusiastic in his service. He's enthusiastic in his endeavor to meet the Lord, even though it looks like it is against the will of the Lord. So we'll explain why and how. Then time passed. So this was again coming to the close to the Rathayatra festival. And for that, the Lord wanted to clean Guntija Mandir. So king made all the arrangements. In fact, even before Rathayatra, even in the Panduvijaya, the initial state where the Lord is being carried from his throne to the chariot, the king said that whatever is required, do to the full capacity. Whatever the Lord says must be carried out immediately. That was the instruction he gave to all the managers of the temple. So king was completely in line with the will of the Lord, for the desire of the Lord. And at the time of Guntija cleaning, he provided with all the equipments. Everything was ready. And okay, Lord performed that pastime, and it was the time for Rathayatra. So then Mahaprabhu was there, all his associates were there when the Lord was being actually carried from the throne, that is called Panduvijaya, and to the chariot. And the Lord was placed on top of the chariot, and the king himself took a golden broom and he started sweeping the floor. So Mahaprabhu noted that. It actually melted the heart of Mahaprabhu. Because he is an emperor, at the same time, he is happy to do such a menial service for the Lord. So Mahaprabhu thought, King Prataparudra is going to receive the mercy of the Lord from that point onwards. So this menial endeavor melted the heart of the Lord. Still, he didn't get a personal audience of the Lord. So still, it was a beginning of that great mercy. Then the Lord danced ecstatically during the theatre in front of Lord Jagannath. And that was going on, and king from a distance he actually witnessed. And the first symptom of the mercy that he received was that the king and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya could see that the Lord was dancing in all nine parties, because the Lord divided the kirtan parties into nine, and they could only, pure devotees and that too those who have received special mercy of the Lord, could witness this, because others just saw Lord in their group, that's all. They couldn't see the Lord dancing in all different groups, but the king could see that the Lord is dancing ecstatically in all the nine groups. So then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya understood that, okay, the king has already received the mercy of the Lord, because otherwise it's impossible to see the Lord in all these nine dancing forms. Then dance continued, and it was going on and on and on. And at one point, the Lord actually collapsed. He jumped up and he became collapsed, and he just fell flat on the floor. And at that point, no one was around the Lord. Usually, Nityananda Prabhu is there, who would look after the Lord. If the Lord is falling apart, he will actually catch hold of him. And other devotees, Advaita Acharya, other devotees, Govinda, everyone were around usually. But at that point, no one was around, and the Lord fell right in front of Pradaparudra. And at that point, Pradaparudra took the opportunity, and he took the Lord, and he actually, you know, made him straight. At that point, the Lord came to external consciousness, and he saw King Pradaparudra. Immediately, he chastised. He said, "Chi-chi, I don't want the touch of a materialistic person. I don't want to touch this king." He actually just rejected. He felt bad, and he actually chastised king, and he left. And another point, when king was observing Lord dancing, his servant, king's servant Harichandan, he was actually moving some people, devotees around. And he was, "The king is coming, so please give some way so that he can actually see the Lord dancing." So he was pushing Srivastakur. So Srivastakur, he was completely ecstatically observing the Lord dancing. And he became disturbed, and he became angry that, "Who is actually pushing me continuously?" He just turned around and slapped Harichandan. Then Harichandan, he became a bit angry, and he wanted to respond to Srivastakur, saying that, "I am actually doing this service for the king. King should see the Lord dancing." But the king actually caught hold of Harichandan and said, he said, "You are so fortunate, because you got the touch of the lotus hand of a pure devotee." So this was the consciousness of King Pradaparudra. That is, even when his servant was slapped, he was thinking, "If I was slapped, I would have been so happy." So this was the consciousness of the king. So his determination and his enthusiasm and his patience, this is, it's going on for years together, few years this is going on. And finally, as we know, here at this point, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he told king that actually the Lord really would like to see you. The real will of the Lord is that he would like to get the audience of King Pradaparudra, and he would like to exchange with King Pradaparudra. But to set a standard for his associates, he doesn't want to show it openly. So internally he is very pleased with the attempts of his pure devotee, but externally he is manifesting anger. Then finally, after the Rath Yatra, Lord Chaitanya was taking rest along with the devotees in a garden, and at that point Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked King Pradaparudra, now you change your clothes." And he changed his clothes to normal clothes. And then all the devotees asked, okay, and king took blessing from all the devotees. And then he approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and started massaging his feet. So we had to understand this, he was ready to take blessings of all the devotees. And then he approached Mahaprabhu, and then he started chanting the famous verse Tava Kathamritam and Jayati Tethikam Janmanavraja. He actually started from Jayati Tethikam, the first verse in that chapter, and he went up till Tava Kathamritam. tapta jivanam. So when Mahaprabhu heard these verses, he became ecstatic and he started, you know, keep reciting. And at the end, Mahaprabhu, he actually embraced the king and he said, I can't repay you for what you have done. So you are actually Bhuridajana because you have merged me in the ecstatic love for Krishna by reciting these verses and by your devotion service. So for that reason, you are Bhuridajana. You are the most beneficent. You are the most magnanimous personality. So we can see how it took a while and it took a lot of endeavors from the part of King Pradaparudra, but ultimately he got the mercy of the Lord. And he was actually aligning himself with the will of the Lord. Because the Lord actually wanted personal meeting with his pure devotee, but he wanted to enact this pastime. So the whole pastime took place, but at the end, the Lord actually showed his mercy in a confidential way, because even at that point, the Lord knew everything, king also knew everything. What is his position and what's the Lord's position? But they acted as if they didn't know anything. The Lord treated him as if an ordinary man and bestowed that mercy. So this is one example where we can see from Sri Chaitanya Mahacharitamrita that the king Pratapradra is showing his determination and patience. So if we understand the desire of the Lord through devotees of our spiritual master, then we have to have a sustained endeavor, because only through sustained endeavor we can get the mercy of the Lord. So we may have to try in different ways, because many times, many services, in some services and some instructions that we receive from our spiritual master is not easy to perform. If we have received instruction from the spiritual master, few things could be a bit easy. Some of the things may be very difficult, but we have to endeavor. With that endeavor, we can attract the mercy of the Lord. Then we can actually do it properly and receive further mercy of the Lord. So I stop here and see if there are any questions, comments, or corrections. Yes,
I just want to make a comment about enthusiasm, sustained endeavor in the morning program, as you mentioned before.
Mm.
Sometimes, you know, devotees who are maybe living outside the temple are not able to come to the morning program.
Mm.
So as a sustained endeavor and with enthusiasm, this morning program can also be carried out at their own home.
Yes.
Just to, you know,
sure,
to do it like that. Just wanted to make that comment.
Sure. That is applicable, yes. And those who are living near the temple should take the opportunity. Exactly. Yes. Thank you. That's a valid point. Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Gaur Premanande.